Hey, it's Kev. Thanks for popping in and listening to the Morning X This Week podcast. Whether you just pop in to listen to a couple segments or you listen to the whole thing, we appreciate it. Let us know that you listened. Text Kev and whatever you want to say to 59457. Enjoy the podcast.
It's the Morning X This Week, powered by Expert Electronics.
104.9 The Morning X, powered by Expert Electronics, your remote start headquarters. It's Kev. Hello. Feel a little bit groggy today. Stay up too late after watching the big game, the Super Bowl. What did you think about yesterday's game? You can text the show, text Kev, and whatever you want to say to 59457. So yeah, just my name, Kev, anywhere in the message, and then whatever you want to say to 59457. That's how you send us a text. You can call me, 815-874-2104. And of course, always leave a message on the X voicemail line, 815-575-XVM1. That's 815-575-9861. Yesterday's game. Hoo doggy. What an awful game. What an awful game. Top three blunders from yesterday's Super Bowl. We'll do top three. Number three. And I thought that I was the only one to notice this, but apparently everybody else on Twitter did too. At one point, they put the camera on the commentators, Jim Nantz and Tony Romo, and Tony Romo standing there in khaki pants with a urine spot. Apparently, he was going to the bathroom during the commercial break and didn't shake enough. So he had a urine spot on his pants, and Twitter did make a pretty big deal about that. Blunder number two was, we know what happened in the game. This has nothing to do with the game. Blunder number two, at one point, Jim Nantz referred to the Chiefs as the Packers. I don't know if you heard that, but the Chiefs blitzed, and Jim Nantz is like, well, I tell you what, these Packers are going to start blitzing a lot. It's not like wishful thinking of what team you're watching. And, of course, the number one blunder from yesterday's Super Bowl was that terrifying nightmare of a halftime show. Did you watch that the weekend? I mean, whatever. Whatever happened to the artist for the halftime show just coming out and performing songs? Having a band on stage performing songs, maybe a little bit of a light show. Whatever happened to that? Well, I saw yesterday was extracted right out of my worst nightmares. It was like a David Lynch directed halftime show. It was terrifying. Whatever, he was singing fine, the songs were fine, not my cup of tea. Well, what the hell was he trying to do? What was with the people with the bandages on their faces? Which is not to say that if you're like a burn victim and wear bandages on your face, that makes you a scary person. I mean, seeing 100 identical, what looked like, I don't know what they were wearing, but the bandages on their faces, they looked like, I don't know, like mummies or something on a Pink Floyd The Wall. I don't get it. I don't know what he was trying to do. I'm also not a fan of his, so if that's like part of his thing, I don't understand that. I don't know that, and I'm sure a lot of the population didn't understand that either, because the guy is only popular to his own base. You know, like Michael Jackson. I mean, yeah, we all know what people think of Michael Jackson, but Michael Jackson had fans everywhere. People who didn't like pop music liked Michael Jackson at the time that he did the Super Bowl halftime show. He was the most famous star in the world. And, people like Prince. Prince has fans all over the board. You know, they just need to get somebody who everyone likes and everyone knows. That The Weeknd just isn't it. That was weird and terrifying and, you know, I get it. He put a lot of work into it. He put a lot of his own money into it, from what I understand. $7 million of his own money to make that weird-ass halftime show. You can text me what you thought of the game. Text Kev to 59457.
1049, The Morning X.
We're looking for anything you want to talk about yesterday's game or the halftime show. 815-874-2104. Hi, who's this?
It's your buddy David.
Hey, David, long time no talk. What's up?
I know. I'm listening to you on the radio. you want my comment about the halftime show?
What did you think of that?
It sucked.
Yeah, I think a lot of people agree with that. It was weird.
The reason why the bandages on the dude, those dancers' faces, is because the Weeknd had plastic surgery.
And so he's bragging that he had plastic surgery? Is that all it was?
I guess. I don't know. But I'd rather just see like what they had last year, J-Lo and Shakira, some tatas, some nice sexy legs. That's what I like at halftime.
Okay, well, that's great. Well, you know, I guess plastic surgery is okay when it's two ladies, I guess. Thank you for the call, David. We appreciate that. I got a message here from Jay on Facebook saying, so my kid said that the Weeknd had a bad car wreck, and that's what he wore because of the face injuries. Looks like a jock strap to me. Yeah, Jay. A lot of people thought the dudes looked like they were wearing jock straps on their faces, and they did. They did. I just thought they looked like those creepy kids from the Pink Floyd The Wall movie. You remember that? Yeah, it was weird. But, you know, taking your comments, you can call me or text me. Text the word Kev and whatever you want to say to 59457. Make sure you put Kev in there so that it will come to me. Your tool of the day brought to you by Retool, coming up after Guns N' Roses.
The Morning X.
I spy with my little eye someone who needs to shut the hell up.
At 1049 and via the free X app.
1049 The Morning X. It is Kev, Matt Hall in the room. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, sir.
Happy to see you. You and I both stand-up comics on the off-season.
Yeah, it's been a long off-season.
It has. But I threw out the topic today. Since it's Monday, we do overrated, underrated on Mondays. Who's the most overrated, underrated stand-up comedian of all time? Now, we're not talking comedic actors. We're not talking like Will Ferrell,
no.
Anybody like that. Not stand-up, not Saturday Night Live type people. Stand-up comics.
Yes. You know, people should know that doing stand-up comedy is very, very hard. And if you can be good at it, more power to you. So it's hard to like judge people who are overrated and underrated
because it's
a really tough thing to do.
And it's such a broad category. There are so many comedians.
Right. But there are people that I like and don't like.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, it's one thing to like hate a comic, but understand why they're good. You know what I mean? Like,
yes,
you really have to look at it subjectively, but a lot of people can't, and I get that. I put it up there on our Facebook page at the X Rockford. Ben says he has terrible taste, first of all, but then he says underrated Dave Attell. I'll agree with that.
Is he underrated, though? He's been around forever.
He has, but I mean, he's not up there with the Kevin Hart's and the...
Gotcha.
You know,
famous-wise, yeah.
So, yeah, I think he should be more famous. I just think he was a little bit too filthy to get into the...
He sure was. And it's his first album. It's called Skanks for the Memories. Do yourself a favor and go pick it up because it is amazing.
Underrated, he says, I never much cared for The Ventriloquist. We assume he means Jeff Dunham.
Jeff Dunham, yeah.
Jeff Dunham. Again, it's easy to be like, I hate Jeff Dunham and what he does. I hate ventriloquists.
Can't knock the success.
People tend to hate the comedians that have more of a shtick, more of a gimmick, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But he made it work for himself, and he's a millionaire.
That's right. If they have a private jet, they're fine. So how are you doing?
Yeah, exactly. Ben says, another Ben, there's two Bens in this thread. Gabriel Iglesias, overrated. I agree.
Mr. Fluffy?
That's Fluffy. Yeah, I agree.
He's okay. Yeah, he gets a lot. He's really famous, and I don't.
Right. Again, I get why people like him, but yeah. I have never laughed out loud watching him.
Yeah.
And that's my own pressure, my own taste, my own personal taste.
Right.
Has nothing to do
He's not a bad. None of these people are bad comedians.
Underrated friend of the show, Jim Florentine.
Oh, Jim Florentine's good.
Yeah, he is good. He's very funny. He was funny on Louie. Did you see his episode of Louie?
Yes, I did.
It was a great episode. All the Louis nonsense aside.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, Matt Hall, your response.
Okay, well, I thought about this. For overrated, I'm going to go with Sebastian Maniscalco. I just don't get it. Maybe I'm not, like, from New York or wherever he's from.
He's from Chicago, dumbass.
Oh, see, he doesn't even sound like he's from Chicago.
He sounds exactly like he's from Chicago.
I don't know. Immediately I thought he was from New York just because of the way he's like, hey, what about this guy, huh?
I walked out to the car. That's totally a Chicago guy.
I think he relies on that accent too much.
He's from, and he'll tell you, Arlington Heights.
Oh, is he for real?
Yes.
Do we fact check that?
I talked to him. He is from Arlington Heights. He talks about it in his specials. He talked about his Chicago theater special, Good to Be Home.
Now, I'm not saying he's a poor comedian. I mean, he has played shows in front of thousands of people. He's very, very good at what he does. He's not my cup of tea, I suppose.
Yeah,
it's just the way he talks. I got an Uber, and there was a baby in the Uber car.
So the thing that actually got him success is the thing that you hate.
Yes, way
his talent and his the way he delivers jokes.
I think it's his delivery that irks me a tad, but I'm not discrediting his success in any way.
Just busting your balls,
I know,
Matt, for sure. I like him. I think he's funny.
An
underrated Matt.
Underrated. I have a couple. One, Eliza Schlesinger. She is a very funny comedian. Now I know she won Last Comic Standing, but she's not a household name like an Amy Schumer type person.
No, she's not. She's a hard. She works really hard. She busts her ass. She does a ton of specials.
Oh, yeah.
She's got them on Netflix. Never my favorite, but I want to ask you this, Matt, and I want you to be honest with me. If she were an Uggo, would you feel the same way?
Yes, she's very funny. I love her delivery. I love how she takes pride in her jokes.
If she couldn't get away with wearing a midriff shirt on stage...
I'm probably right. Well, okay, maybe. Maybe, but I will say, I don't know. I think she more people should know who she is.
Again, just ball busting. Yeah. Just ball busting. But you said you had another one.
Yes, Ted Alexandro. No one knows who he is. He's amazing. He's an amazing comedian. I've seen him live.
I saw him open for Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, he's a New York guy. You wouldn't know him unless you were like in the New York club scene.
Right.
He's great.
There's a thing on Twitter about him right now that SNL stole one of his jokes.
Did they? I'm sure he's loving that right now.
He had a bit about Zillow. And,
okay.
So he put up on Twitter like, hey, SNL, if you're going to steal my jokes, watch my special. There's plenty more material for you in there. So,
see? That's why he's great.
Very funny.
What about you?
Me? I'm going to make this quick. Overrated Jerry Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Love his show. Love his show, and I love him on the show. His material just translates better to sitcom comedy than it does stand-up. It's just that old-fashioned, you ever notice this? You ever see
it worked in the 80s. Now, if he was to do it now, I'm not sure he'd have the success if he was just starting now as he did.
No. And it's just that's just a preference to me. Again, a lot of people find him hilarious, and that's how he got successful. Well, so it's all subjective.
Maybe he should do a Chicago accent. Hey, what's the deal there with the parked cars on the street there, eh?
Yeah. He should do the Chicago thing?
Yeah.
Why are people putting their cars and putting things in the spots?
See?
Just put your car there. That's all you gotta do. Back to Sebastian Maniscalco. You know what? Just to screw you, I'm going to say Sebastian Maniscalco, underrated.
No,
Should be bigger.
No.
Should be bigger. Send me a text. Send Kevin your response to 59457 or talk to us about it on our Facebook page at The X Rockford. Underrated, overrated stand-up comedians. It's 104.9 The Morning X.
It's Kev.
Love that guy.
On 104.9.
Lock in.
The Morning X.
104.9 The Morning X at 749. It's Kev. And a lot of the country is trying to lobby for the Monday after the Super Bowl to be a day off of work, a national holiday. Wally, it is mailatfootballabsurdity.com. How do you feel about that?
I feel my hangover would be going much better if they did make it.
Yeah, right. I mean, that's the way a lot of people feel. People drink, people eat in tremendous amounts of food, so you're in a diabetic hangover the next day.
Oh, also, to be fair, I am talking about a diabetic hangover. I didn't really drink yesterday. So.
Yeah, I ate way too much myself. Hard time moving today because I ate not only a lot, but also a lot of really bad food, so my body's not happy with me today. Let's talk Super Bowl 55. Tom Brady wins his 7th ring. 31-9 over the Kansas City Chiefs, and let's say out of those 9 points, 0 of them were Patrick Mahomes touchdowns.
Yeah, I think it's the first time in his career he hasn't had a touchdown.
Damn. I mean,
there was a stat they were showing in the fourth quarter that he has never gone 3 quarters without scoring a touchdown, which pretty much kind of implies that this is the first time he never scored a touchdown. Bad weekend to do it.
Yeah, we talked a little bit about this on Friday. How much of that has to do with his O-line being out with COVID protocol?
Yeah, I mean, it was really important that they had a good haircut. Very important.
Yes, they went to the barber, or they had a barber come in.
Sometimes you got to prioritize.
Yeah, I think I sent you one message during the game yesterday, and it was, I hope those were some damn good haircuts.
Yeah, I mean, they look really good with their AFC championship rings. That's the only ring they get.
The defense was all over him. Mahomes was running around like a crazy person because they just couldn't protect him.
Yeah, and like the thing that sucks is obviously nobody wants Tom Brady to get a ring. But it's not just that. Like, Ndamukong Suh, jerk. Antonio Brown, jerk. Like, Tom Brady is the king of the jerks. They all get rings. Like, this was good versus evil. And like I said, it was 2020. Evil was going to win, and they did. And to make it all worse, we're probably going to have to trade for Carson Wentz. And now the Bears, like, now next year kind of already sucks.
Yeah, if you don't know this already, the Bears very close to a deal getting Carson Wentz, maybe another offensive player and a first rounder in a trade. Have you heard anything about who we're giving up for that or what we're giving up?
Well, the rumor is our first-round pick, Tariq Cohen and Nick Foles.
Nick Foles going back to the Eagles? That's hilarious. I love that. I love that.
Oh, it's a salary swap, I think, more than anything.
But how do you think?
But also, it's also them admitting, like, we picked wrong. We should have stuck with Foles instead of Wentz.
Tariq Cohen has not been healthy, but had he been healthy, would you be sad to lose him?
Honestly, I've always felt he's kind of overrated. I like him. I think my problem with him is Matt Nagy. Like, Tariq Cohen is a fine player, but Matt Nagy just uses him in the weirdest ways, and I just want, like, that temptation away from him.
Okay. I see.
Like, there's only so many gadget plays I can put up with.
Back to yesterday's game, back to the Super Bowl real quick. A very important detail in yesterday's game that I think people are overlooking. Did you see the Tony Romo pee stain? Did you see it?
I did not see it. I did not know about it. What are we talking about here?
Okay, so, you know, sometimes they come back from commercial and they show the announcers talking in the booth and they're standing there, right? So Tony Romo, Jim Nantz are standing there. Tony Romo's wearing khaki pants, and it was kind of obvious that he went to the bathroom during the break and didn't have time to shake. And there's definitely a very noticeable.
Dab.
Yeah.
If you don't dab.
If you're wearing khaki pants, man, for sure.
I mean, that's the announcing crew I expect on a Super Bowl that was that terrible. So, honestly, it's just par for the course.
Jim Nantz referred to the Chiefs as the Packers once. I don't know if you caught that. He said, well, these Packers are going to be blitzing a lot from here on out, and referring to the Chiefs, which was hilarious, seeing as the Packers.
I think he was trying to say that the Chiefs were packing it in. that's what it looked like.
Yeah, just talk about a major crumble, right? Just awful.
It was unbelievable, but it was really on the line. Like, Mahomes was just getting chased all day. He had some throws, though, while he was on the run that I'm just like, how does he do that?
Yeah, I mean,
his receivers were dropping balls.
You can make a highlight reel out of his incompletions from yesterday because, I mean, the dude showed his talent. He just couldn't complete the plays, and that's what sucks.
It wasn't even him not completing it. Like, I saw Kelce dropped one. Uh-huh. Like, the guy had him, like, wrapped up, but he still, it bounced off his hands. Tariq Hill had an end zone shot that bounced off his helmet. I mean,
That's that old football trope of you got to catch those. You got to catch those.
Yeah. It was like, Mahomes was putting the ball in places where guys could make, like, moves. They just weren't.
Yeah, I hate it when the Super Bowl's boring, man. I mean, when one team is just steamrolling, and you know that there's going to be no hope for the other team. It's really just boring to watch. And people say they watch for the commercials, subpar halftime show. What was that? What was that?
It was fine.
You enjoyed it?
I mean, it was fine. I liked the weekend. It was a halftime show. At least it was modern music.
Which is fine, but, what I'm saying is, what was with the nightmare imagery? What was that all about? I felt like I was watching Pink Floyd The Wall. I felt like I should have been on acid.
There was actually a purpose, and I forgot what it was. Like, someone explained to me that there is, like, a political meaning behind it.
Okay, all right, but if I have to, if I can't pick that out, then you're not communicating enough.
I think they just took COVID protocols to the extreme.
I guess so, but I felt like he could have just come out and sang his songs with a light show. I miss that when it comes to halftime shows, is what I'm saying. That's all.
I get that.
That's all. Give me a band. Like, give me a rock band up there. Bring out The Weeknd to sing with him. that's all.
No, The Weeknd. The Weeknd's better than most of the rock bands they've been trying to trot out.
Like Waleed? Choose your words wisely here.
I mean, The Who was terrible. I'm sorry. They were old.
Oh, okay, good. Like, yes, they didn't sound good. They should not have been playing. You're right.
Yeah, but that feels like the case, like, of most of the halftime shows. They're pulling up people who are way past their prime.
But it's their legend status that gets them that spot. It's not necessarily are they in their prime. I just don't see The Weeknd being there yet. Maybe someday, but just not yet. Like, he wasn't super...
Well, that's what I like about it. Because, yeah, when they hit legend status, they don't sound good anymore. Why would you want that? That's the entire point I'm trying to make.
Okay, it makes sense. It makes sense. Okay.
At least he can still sing. You know, he's pulling up the hits. That's all I want.
All right, and that's what you got. He definitely sang well. I'm not ever going to deny that. It was just creepy and weird to me. That's all. But hey, dude, we are out of time.
Yeah, well,
we are out of time here. I got to let you go. But the Chiefs were the Bears yesterday. That's my final statement. The Chiefs. Were
I
the
mean,
Bears.
No.
Yes, they were.
The Chiefs defense. The Bears defense is a little better than that.
Yeah. Hey, do we have to wrap it up? I appreciate it. And football season's over, so this will be at least the last time we talk in this capacity on the show. We'll have you back for some other stuff.
Farewell.
Waleed is Male. FootballAbsurdity.com is the website. Also, you can follow him on Twitter at IamTheWaleed. Waleed, appreciate it, man. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. It's been a fun season, man.
It's the Morning X this week, powered by Expert Electronics.
Did you see the streaker?
I saw the streaker afterwards. I didn't see anything on the air, and I didn't even see them, like, cut away. I must have been, I don't know, at the fridge, or maybe I took the dogs out or something when that part happened.
Well, you know, the radio announcer, Kevin Harlan, the sports.
Yeah. Sure.
He did a call live on the radio of the streaker. And, yeah, pop those headphones on. You don't want to hear this. This is an excellent call. This is why radio is more fun than TV.
Second down, 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Oh, save that. That's going to be used.
And the players
all the time.
With hands on hips the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
Matt Hall from down the hall here, he's like, that's the new Oh, the Humanity.
Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
I just love it in that voice, too. Guy with a bra.
Well, when somebody gets on the field or in any sport, they don't acknowledge it.
Well, during the game, they said, oh, we got a fan on the field. They didn't show him. They cut immediately to up close shots of Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady looking annoyed. And it was like, I don't know, it's just not something you want to do.
No.
Remember the guy who got on the field during the Bears game and he got leveled by somebody?
No.
By one of the players.
I vaguely remember this.
That's a risk that you run, is getting smashed by a player.
I know an idiot that ran on the field at guaranteed rate during just a regular Sox game. It wasn't a playoff game or anything like that. But, yeah, it's not good afterwards. Like, they come down, and they come down hard on you.
Sure.
You're never allowed back to a baseball game. And can they ever stop you? I don't know. Like, they'd have to see you, whatever. But there's a lot legally that happens to you after you do that. There's no chance of getting away with it.
Yeah, that guy had a fun drunk night, but he's not having fun right now.
Like, I tripped and fell and then ran 50 yards.
In a bra.
there's no legal defense on your side, bro.
Like, there's a lot of video of it with people that shot on phones. So, like, I mean, he's running with he had, like, a skirt and a bra.
Uh-huh.
And he starts pulling his pants halfway down. His butt cracks out. He's hauling ass down the field and got to the end zone. But slid at the 1, so if he were running, wouldn't have been a touchdown.
No.
Didn't even score.
Come on, man. Pull up your pants, take off the bra, and be a man.
Take off the bra and be a man.
That is just...
And you know what sucks about today's world is that immediately when I heard that, I thought, he's going to pay for saying that. He's going to pay for saying, take off your bra and be a man.
Yeah.
He's going to be on a podium apologizing.
It's hysterical.
I just wanted to say something about the guy. I didn't mean to offend any particular group.
That's the best call of the game.
It does not reflect the thoughts and opinions of the NFL or any of its broadcast affiliates. So take off your bra and be a man.
I thought that too. Hopefully it'll
blow over.
Yeah, right.
More offensive was the guy running naked on the field, right?
I would agree.
Five more minutes of this and I'm going to get mad.
104.9 The Morning X.
104.9 The Morning X. It is Kevin. You know the movie The Exorcist, right? You remember that? Head spinning around, vomit coming out of the mouth. Well, you probably didn't know that it was based on a true story, and there's a documentary out about that true story right now called Shock Docs, The Exorcism of Roland Doe. It's on Discovery Plus. And on the show right now, we have the author of several books on the topic and a main contributor for the documentary, Troy Taylor. What's up, Troy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's cool to have you on the show, man. I love when I get interviews about this, and this is going to be one of those interviews that I wish I had a podcast, because I would love to talk to you for hours about this.
Right.
Unfortunately,
yeah, it's hard. One of those things is hard to fit into 5 minutes. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? A lot of people don't know that The Exorcist was inspired by true events. So what is the real story? Who is Roland Doe?
Yeah, well, you know, this was a young kid who he was 13 years old in 1949 and grew up in Cottage City, Maryland, right outside of D.C. At first, his parents thought the house was haunted because we're hearing all kinds of weird noises, footsteps, creaking sounds, you know, scratching sounds inside the walls. Called an exterminator. They didn't have any problems. They couldn't figure out what was going on. But then things kept getting worse. He started to be I'd call it attacked, you know, scratched up, banged up, being pinned on the bed. Then he started going into seizures and convulsions and howling and barking and using strange voices and things. And his parents freaked out, called the Lutheran minister. He thought maybe it was a ghost or thought maybe Roland was psychic or something. And sure. Then all of these strange marks started showing up on his body and stuff. And eventually the family just was so terrified, they ended up going to St. Louis, where they were originally from and where they had family, thinking, you know, maybe, you know, we could go somewhere else and this stuff will stop. We can get away from it. But it got worse in St. Louis, and the family were Catholics, the family in St. Louis were, and they contacted the church, and some priests came out to pray and things and discovered that, you know, objects flying around the room and all kinds of stuff. And they decided that they would ask for permission to do an exorcism. And 6 weeks later, it ended. But that's how long it took.
6 weeks. That's intense.
Weeks, yeah. Every single night, man, for 6 weeks. And when it was over, the church wanted to keep it quiet. It really probably never would have leaked out at all. But over time, you know, how things happen.
So how does it go from that story into being the movie that we know now?
William Peter Blatty, who's the author of The Exorcist, was attending seminary in Georgetown in outside Washington, D.C. at the time. And he'd heard the story. Just got interested in it. He heard just a little bit of it. He managed to get his hands on what was called the priest's diary, which was kept by one of the priests involved in the exorcism, Father Bishop, as sort of a how-to guide for people who, you know, priests who might be doing an exorcism, because he couldn't find much help when he had to do one, so we thought maybe this would help other priests later. Blatty also talked to Father Bowdern, who was the lead exorcist, and went on to base his character of Father Marin on Father Bowdern. But anyway, so he found these things out, kind of put them together, eventually wrote the book, and then, of course, the movie, and used a lot of the things that actually happened in the real story in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no head spinning around or anything in real life, but
yeah,
you know,
that was like,
nobody's being thrown out the window or anything like that.
Sure. Yeah. You have to make a story for, you know, a compelling story, but I mean, like what you described to me sounded a lot like the movie. They exhausted all the, what do they call them? Semantic possibilities before saying, I think we need to bring in a priest.
Yeah. I mean, they sent the boy to Georgetown University Hospital and gave him a full battery of tests. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. And mentally, nothing wrong with him there either. I mean, he'd always been a little hyper and a little high strung, but that was it. But again, he's this 13-year-old kid. He weighs like maybe 105 pounds. And then suddenly they're doing these exorcisms and it's, you know, six guys can't hold him down on the bed. You know, things are flying around the room. He's throwing up. He's vomiting. He's spitting these, you know, stuff like 10, 12 feet across the room with his eyes closed. I mean, the smells, the horrific sounds, the voices, this I mean, just crazy stuff. And then the one thing, I'll ask you this question before you ask me.
Sure.
Yes, he really levitated.
See, in the movie, the priests are throwing holy water on this poor little girl, right, as she's floating in the air and making horrific noises. It's hard to imagine something like that happening in real life.
Well, it's the perfect example of how, you know, when it goes to Hollywood, things get exaggerated. But in the documentary, I interviewed an Alexian monk. He's telling me his story, and he says to me, I was there, you know, I was in the room. My job was to help hold him down onto the bed. And this boy levitated above the mattress 12 inches. Now,
12 inches in the movie, it's like 4 or 5 feet.
I know, like 5 feet, right?
Yeah.
But even so, 12 inches is still 12 inches. And it wasn't like he said, you know, boy, it looked like it or it seemed like it. He's just said flat out, matter of fact, looked me in the eye and said he levitated off the bed 12 inches. And he said, you know, you'd have to be crazy to walk into that room and not realize that the devil was in that room.
We're on with Troy Taylor, author and contributor for the documentary Shock Docs, The Exorcism of Roland Doe on Discovery Plus. Do you believe that The Exorcist is the scariest movie ever made?
I do think it's always in my top 10. I think it's a great movie. I had a perfect discussion with somebody who told me that they had gone to see it at the theater when it came out, and they were Catholic, and they went to see this movie and were absolutely terrified and ready to run out of the theater. And he'd gone there with a friend of his who was a Lutheran who went, yeah, it was okay, whatever. So I think that there may be, that may be the separation. I think that that movie probably put more Catholics back in pews than, you know, any other movie that's ever come out.
I can tell you what makes it so horrifying to me, this story and the real story that it's based on, is the age of the subject. A child going through all this stuff, whether or not he's actually possessed or having mental health issues, it's terrifying.
It is. It is. And you know, I've been asked why did he change it from a boy to a girl, or from a boy.
Right.
And when Blatty had spoken with Father Bowder, and Father Bowder had, you know, no one ever foresaw that anyone would ever be talking about this story. He just said, listen, we want to protect this boy's identity. So why don't you just do whatever you can to hide that? And Blatty took it an extra step and turned the lead into a girl. But I think that's really even more effective in the movie, because you can really feel, you see a little girl doing these things, you know, rather than a boy, and all the things that are happening and stuff. And you have a lot more sympathy for a little girl because, I mean, we've either known 13-year-old boys or have been one. And we know that we would deserve anything that would have happened to us. We were so obnoxious when we were 13. So by changing it into a girl, you know. But what was really great about that is a few years ago, I did a Comic-Con panel about this story. And when it was announced we were going to do it, Linda Blair asked if she could be on the panel with us, which was pretty cool. You know, when you think of her doing all these horrific things in this movie, and then you meet her and sit down with her, and she's like this tiny little person, and she's so sweet and like the nicest person you've ever met in your life. And you're thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah, she was, 12 years old when that movie was made. Can you imagine the maturity level you have to be at to be able to handle a role like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The things she had to do. And I know that I'd read some things that they tried to shield her from some of it. But, I mean, I think we both know, even though that's not her voice a lot of times in the movie,
right,
still, that she still had to say those things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty brutal, man. I mean, not now we can probably find a 12-year-old girl on the street who would say all of those things on a regular basis, but not, you know.
I don't know about that, Troy.
Well, probably not all of them.
Yeah, dude, like I said, I would love to talk to you for hours and hours about this. This makes me wish I had my own podcast, but in the meantime, discoveryplus.com, this is where you can see this documentary. It's called Shock Docs, The Exorcism of Roland Doe. Troy Taylor, thanks so much for joining us today. Where can we send people to find out more about you?
Absolutely. You can go to my website. It's americanhauntings.net. And the Devil Came to St. Louis book and all kinds of other stuff is there. So, yeah, we'd be happy to hear from people who have enjoyed the documentary. So,
excellent, man. Well, it was cool to have a Midwest dude on.
Yeah, thanks, man.
1049, The Morning X.
1049, The Morning X. It's time for some good news. A lot of crappy news, a lot of sad news, depressing stuff going on in the world. So I like to once a week bring a dose of good news, something positive to think about. We'll start with this. In November, a guy in Canada drove 1,000 miles to help reunite a total stranger with her husband in Alaska. She was coming home from Georgia and panicked because she'd never driven in snow, so he drove her the rest of the way there. And now here's an update. Planters Peanuts is rewarding that guy with a new car. A new car! They're also giving the woman a car, and they'll both get a lifetime supply of peanuts. Look at that. Help out a strange lady, get nuts. 70-year-old guy from the UK just finished rowing 3,000 miles across the Atlantic Ocean by himself. And in the process, he raised over $1 million for dementia research. This is a horrible time to be rowing anywhere. I mean, there are parts of the Atlantic that are warm, but I imagine, like, in the middle, in the dark, you'd be freezing your tits off out there. I don't know about that. But way to raise all that money. Nice job, man. That's great. And right here in the Rockford area, this is pretty cool. I got to warn you, there's like a cuteness overload here. But some kids from Alpine Academy, per an initiative by county leaders Senator Dan Syverson and Winnebago County Board Chairman Joe Shirelli, spent Friday making Valentine cards to be delivered to local seniors. They've already collected thousands of cards, inching them closer to their goal of getting a card to every senior in the area. Now that is good news.
It's Kev.
So what do you think of a character like that?
On 104.9.
Well, I think you're wise to keep him locked up, Doctor.
The Morning X.
104.9 The Morning X is Kev. Matt Hall is here, and it's time for your celebrity dump. Time to dump on celebs like we always do on Wednesdays.
Well, that's what they get for sharing their art with the world, you know?
Yeah. Hey, you want to start with a story nobody cares about?
Yeah.
All right, so Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are no longer speaking.
Oh, no.
The divorce is imminent.
Could have called that one.
Not only that, but Kanye has reportedly cleared 500 boxes of shoes out of their house. Yes, that's one box for every person who's sad that they're getting divorced.
I don't know if that may be too many, though.
500 is too many?
500. I don't think people care that much about the Kardashians or Kanye anymore or whatever.
Yeah.
Or if they ever did.
Eh. Hey, since we last dumped, Jeff Bezos is announcing that he's stepped down as CEO of Amazon.
Oh, what's he going to do with his time?
Well, he's going to stay on his executive chair, spend more time on new products and early initiatives, not to have more time to murder Elon Musk. I know people were expecting that, but...
Yeah, or take over the world. He's got serious Dr. Evil vibes. I'm going to put it out there right now.
Yeah, definitely Pinky and the Brain style.
Yeah.
But yeah, with the bald head.
Yeah. We're going to have a laser, and we're going to destroy the world with our laser.
Yeah, Jeff, I was thinking about, maybe we could, have an initiative where we give people two-day delivery. Evil two-day delivery?
We deliver packages around the world. Oh, my God.
And it's official. Aaron Rodgers is engaged to Shailene Woodley. Engaged, Matt.
Huh. I didn't think... I've heard he's kind of a dick, so I was surprised to hear this news.
Well, sources say they're very happy together and that the hasty proposal is not a surprise. The couple says they're not wasting any time. In fact, they have meetings with divorce lawyers next week. So
they're meeting with Kim Kardashian's divorce lawyer.
Like a good neighbor, prenup is there.
104.9 The Morning X.
815-874-2104. If you got a movie quote you think you can stump me with, you can also text it to me. Text Kev and your movie quote to 59457. You want to try and stump me? I'm usually pretty good at this stuff. I ask for your responses on our Facebook page as well. And we'll start with this one. I had a long night and I hate the effing Eagles, man. I know where that's from. That's from the Big Lebowski. For sure. That's a good quote. Not only do I know that quote, but I have... the sound clip.
I had a rough night, and I hate the f***ing Eagles, man.
Not safe for radio without the beat, but that's a great quote, great movie. Let's see, more of your Facebook responses. Let's see what we got. This one says, this one's for my wife, Jamie. You remind me of the Babe. No idea. That sounds very familiar, though. You remind me of the Babe. You got me there. You got me there. Let's see. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K. Megan turns this one in. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K. That would be Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Keanu Reeves. Strange things are afoot at the Circle K. Yeah. David. Hey, honey, do you think KFC's still open? That's, of course, from Old School. Brian put a very brain. His name is Brain. Put a very vague quote in there. It says, I am. Is there a very popular movie quote that says, I am? I feel like it's a very vague sentence that could have been in a ton of different movies. A lot of these sound really familiar. This is really... When you cut the power, you unlock the doors. You let them out. What is that from? Oh, this is bugging me. I'm usually way better at this. You guys are snubbing me. You guys are very good at this. 815-874-2104 if you'd like to try and stump me with a movie quote. Frank is on line one. Hey, Frank.
I got the movie quote. It's
okay,
an easy one.
All right, let's hear it.
Son, you got a panty on your head.
Oh, why is it? It's ringing a bell. Why am I drawing a blank on this? I know I've seen, I can picture it, but I can't.
I'll give you clues.
All right, give me a clue.
Nicolas Cage.
Nicolas Cage has the panty on his head?
Yeah. Stealing diapers for the John Goodman's in it.
This is Raising Arizona?
There you go.
That's right. I'm going to be honest with you, Frank. I would never have gotten it if you didn't say John Goodman. I was going leaving Las Vegas. I was thinking I was going on the opposite direction. So
He walks in. He's in the store clerk. He's like, "Son, you got a panty on your head."
I can picture that scene too. Oh, I can't believe it, man! You stumped me. Congratulations.
Take it easy.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for the call, Frank. I appreciate that. 815-874-2104 if you want to try and stump me with a movie quote, or do it online on our Facebook page at The X Rockford. You can text in your response to 59457. Just include the word Kev in there somewhere. Kev to 59457 with your response.
1049, The Morning X.
Looking for you to stump me with a movie quote. Usually pretty good at this. I'm not doing great at it today. 815-874-2104 if you want to give it a try. Hi, The Morning X.
Hey, I got a quote for you.
Yeah, what's the quote?
Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
Oh, man. You know what? Like, I used to be way better at this, and all these quotes are sounding so familiar. Like, I could hear the person in the movie saying it. I can't. You got me, man. What is it from?
Last Action Hero, Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh, my God. Of course. Of course. It's Arnie who says it, right?
Yep.
Can you do an impression?
I was going to try and do it in the accent, but obviously that just gave it away.
No, you can't get away with it. Do it now. Do the line.
Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
That's good. Not bad. Not bad. You didn't overdo it, which is what most people do, so I'll take it. What's your name, man?
Ben.
Ben, I appreciate the call.
Yeah, no problem, man.
Bye-bye. Yeah. Joey Dick just sent me the audio.
Could I speak to the drug dealer of the house, please?
There you go, Arnie. And you know what? It's the same guy at the door who answers the door in Pee-wee's Big Adventure at Francis's house, the big Asian dude. How could I forget that? Oh, well. Frank says he's got another one. What is it, Frank?
A missile. A missile in my house, Gary.
Yes. That's Weird Science.
Yes.
There are motorcycles in my house, Gary.
Yes. And my parents are can of tonic in the closet.
Gary, you told me you were combing your hair.
We'll call it even. Have a great day, my friend.
All right, thanks, Frank. Bye.
Transmitted to the public.
It's thrilling. It provides kick.
Our actions are controlled by electronic computers, not by human emotions.
Bingo.
You clearly don't know who you're talking to, so let me clue you in.
Once again, we present
The Morning X with Kev.
Powered by Expert Electronics, your remote start headquarters. My favorite day of the year is here. No, I'm not talking about Valentine's Day. I'm talking about the day we talked to Laura Korn, of course, the New York Times bestselling author of 101 Nights of Great Sex. And now the 2021 edition is here. Laura, welcome.
Oh, my God. What an intro. Wow. Your favorite day of the year to talk to Korn, like the vegetable?
It's not. Well, no, Laura Korn. Well,
I was Laura Korn.
Yeah, I don't often talk to vegetables. It's not. It's not. And it's not very often that this show gets steamy, but whenever you're on, the moisture level in this room just mysteriously rises for some reason.
Oh, my God. Because we're talking sex, and we love sex, and we're not getting enough sex. And that's why you had the sex author, Laura Korn, on here to talk about sex.
That's right. How many times can we say sex? Let's
that's not enough.
Let's go for 1,000 within the next 10 minutes.
We're locked in our homes.
That's right.
Why are we not having more interesting sex?
You know, that's kind of how I wanted to lead this off. Are people having more or less sex during the pandemic?
You know what? I will say this. The 2020 edition of 101 Nights of Great Sex, the new edition, actually, sold more copies last year than the other 2 years combined. So I'm gonna give it a.
Let's give it a round of applause.
So people are crying, and I think it depends on where your relationship was or is. You know, I think everyone's looking for more spice. Everyone wants more adventurous sex life. But it's so hard to execute it, right, Kevin?
yeah, you're telling me for sure.
Well, certainly, you're not ripping out these sealed envelopes. Now, why do you think 101 Nights of Great Sex has been... Because it's not a book you read. You can't read the book. The pages are stuck together.
yeah, they are stuck together, and they could end up more stuck together. It just depends on who's reading it at the time.
Yeah. I mean, just so people know that the 101 Nights of Great Sex is not a book you read. It's a book you do, and there's like 101 sealed envelopes. And there are 50 envelopes for his eyes only, 50 for hers, and then one that you do at the end. And each secret envelope has a name. And so whether it be Honey Lingus.
which we've talked about before. And,
or Badass number 90, which is kind of my favorite thing I'm talking about on the Valentine's Day tour. Number 90, Badass, or like I think we talked about, Pink Breakfast.
Sure.
Hashtag love sex music, the kitty popsicle.
that one's number 83. I know that. Kitty popsicle's number 83.
Oh my God, you are the guy with the numbers. or for Valentine's Day, number 55, come clean, come dirty.
Wow. That one sounds like it speaks for itself.
So what you do is a couple, you get the book. It's exciting. Women get excited when they see the book because they see the sealed envelopes and they go, oh, he's going to seduce me. Oh, that's exciting. And then the guy rips out an envelope and then she rips out an envelope. And then sometime in the next week or two, you surprise each other. Now, the reason why that's so popular and so exciting is because most people are not planning to seduce their partner. You know, if you ask people, where is making your partner feel special on your to-do list today? Is it on your to-do list? And most people say, no, it's not. Not making my partner feel special is not there, right?
No, you know, because you get wrapped up in the day-to-day, the hustle and bustle of daily life, and you forget.
Yeah, but so when you rip out the envelope, really what that is, now your partner is on your to-do list. Like literally to do, you know what I mean? You know, because you got a plan. Because your partner is waiting for you to surprise them. And people love that. They dig that because it makes them accountable, kind of, to their sex life. And that's why it's so successful.
You know what? I think we need to dig into this book a little bit and dig into some of these categories. We will do that more with Laura Korn after Tool. Right now it's Audio Slave on The Morning X. 104.9 The Morning X. It is Kev. We are back with the sex coach to the stars, Laura Korn, author of 101 Nights of Great Sex. These 101 nights are not meant to be 101 consecutive nights, right? I mean, how much jam do you think I have?
You're up to it. I mean, you'd be some kind of man to pull that off. But, you know, honestly, after this book, you know, was originally released in 1994. So all these years, it's been the number one book in sex and giving, you know, during Valentine's Day and, you know, all these millions of copies sold. But most couples do this 2 or 3 times a month. That's been the going thing.
2 or 3 times a month, it's average for like married couples.
Yeah. I just want to know which one, like do you have the book right there in front of you?
I do have a book right in front of me, yep.
All right, so which title, like pretend that you and I are a couple.
Okay.
And we're just sitting around, we're like, ooh, like which ones do we want to do this week? Like which titles are the ones that turn you on?
All right, here's one that jumped out at me. For Her Eyes Only, number 47, P is for Porn Star. I have no idea what's on the inside of this one, but if it involves a camcorder, I'm going to be a little uncomfortable with that.
No, that's number 45, life cam action.
Oh, okay, good.
So you would get kind of excited if you saw her rip out PS4 porn star. That's all you know, right?
Right, precisely.
Right, so it's a her eyes only sealed envelope. And that is based on, something that Jenna Jameson was famous for.
And we all know who Jenna Jameson is, probably the most famous porn star of all time.
Right. She has a couple of tricks up her sleeve, obviously. And, that's what she's famous for. Now, if you scoot on over to 57, that is also for her eyes only envelope. It's called I Think I Made His Back Feel Better.
Oh.
That is Marilyn Monroe's famous sex trick.
And so she's famous for being a sexual chiropractor in that way.
That's correct.
As a guy with back problems myself, this is pretty intriguing.
Oh, let me tell you something. Mm-hmm. She's going to do something to your back. believe me, it's unbelievable. That's all I'm gonna. It's something that you've never felt before.
Okay, I gotta tell you though, some of these titles kind of concern me a little bit.
Go ahead.
For example, I mean, some of them speak for themselves, like "Bad to the Boner" and "Heels on a Dash." But number 80, popping her clutch. Now, for a guy, that's an automobile term, and popping the clutch usually involves a lot of stomping, which I don't think makes things very sexy if we're stomping.
No, but this, again, is a maneuver, because a lot of these things I've researched, and they come from other best-selling material and other tricks and techniques that have been gathered for years and years. Popping her clutch is a technique because women can contract, can orgasm for quite a while, to up to 60 seconds, actually.
Oh my God.
And this is a technique because most women, it's about 10 seconds. But when you learn how to pop her clutch, it can go on for a minute.
And the instructions are right in there in number 80, huh?
The instructions. I tell you exactly how to pop her clutch. Remember my favorite saying is, a man with a plan will always win a lady's hand. And inside every seduction is a plan. And I write it in man speak. I say, here are the ingredients. If there are some ingredients, this is what you need to pull off this thing. And here is the plan. And what's so cool, so many guys have written me over the years, like, you know what? I popped her clutch. And then on top of it, I tag teamed it with Pink Breakfast. And then she didn't even see this coming. I did some Bad to the Boner business. this basically you're lethal. You're dangerous.
All right. We're almost out of time, but I want to run one more title by you. Because it concerns me because I'm afraid that I'm going to have to dress up like Britney Spears for this one. Number 35, Not That Innocent.
Wow. I can't believe, because she's in the news now. That's why you went there, right?
Well, yeah. And that's just from one of her songs, you know, Innocent.
I am the sex coach to the stars, and she is a fan.
There you go.
Just like Will Smith and Gwyneth. I mean, on and on. Because everyone has the same problem. We all get stuck in a rut, and this book is a tool to get out of the rut. So Not That Innocent, I do play. It's a For Her Eyes Only page. It is based on a little bit of Britney Spears. Not going
to
lie.
So, yep. But I don't have to wear the schoolgirl outfit.
Well, it's a For Her Eyes Only page, dude. maybe she makes you dress up in one.
Well, she's going to have to convince me real hard to do that. I'll tell you what. All right, before we go, now the quarantine has kept people inside and it's made us a little bit lazy. So you're the sex coach. I want to know, and this is a serious question, do you have any logistical advice in working around quarantine bush? Because we are unkempt people now.
Well, maybe that's why you're not having any sex. Because if you're not manscaping the twins and Mr. Friendly, then she's not interested. Because look, let me tell you something about men's hygiene. You know, clean breath, looking good, smelling good. That's the uniform you put on to play the game of love. And if you're so lazy, you don't want to play the game of love, then guess what? You're not getting any. You don't strike me as that kind of guy.
No, I'm not. I'm not. But many of our listeners very well might be. I don't know everyone who listens to our station, but I have a feeling that some people need to get out the trimmers at least this week for Valentine's Day.
Smell good. Do come clean, come dirty. because that's really, really good for Valentine's Day morning. It'll rock her world. I think most people are going to have breakfast in bed on Sunday. I plan on having breakfast in bed. And you might as well show up with some breakfast and a vibrator and this book.
Because
then you're going to win.
Laura Korn, thank you very much. You can order her books at Amazon.com. It's 101 Nights of Great Sex. Go to 101nights.com or Facebook.com/101nights. Laura, thank you so much.
I love you so much. Thanks for having me on.
You know what? Why don't we give away a copy of this book right now? If you want to win a copy of the 2020 edition of 101 Nights of Great Sex, be caller X at 815-874-2104. Good luck.
1049, The Morning X.
Hi, The Morning X. Who's this?
This is Tony.
Hey, Tony, you want to win a copy of 101 Nights of Great Sex?
Hell yeah.
You want to try out the kitty popsicle?
Hey, anything's worth a try, right?
Yeah, I think anything might be. You want to dress up like Britney Spears and do the Not That Innocent?
Oh, that's a hard pass on that, though.
You think you know how to pop the clutch? You're talking about popping the clutch?
I had to turn it off because I was taking my kids to school, so I had to shut that off for a minute.
You know what? I meant to put a disclaimer on that. I'm sorry. Well, I hope they don't ask you what a vibrator is later on.
No, actually, I just dropped him off, and I caught the tail end of this, and that's how I'm on this phone call right now.
Well, lucky you. You are Caller X, man, so we're going to hook you up.
Cool, man. I appreciate it. Thanks so much.
All right, enjoy. Don't let your kids read it.
All right, buddy. Later.
And you know what? If you didn't win, it's not your last chance. We'll give out another copy tomorrow on The Morning X.
Hear The Morning X at 104.9 or
the internets.
TheXRockford.com.
104.9, The Morning X. It's Kev. And where there is COVID, there is insanity. Bring you the craziest COVID stories from around the world. You can text the show. Text Kev to 59457. Make sure the word Kev is in there. Got anything to say about any of these weird stories? Here, we'll start off with an interesting fact here. If you took all the COVID particles in the world, all of the COVID virus particles in the entire world, they would fit in a single Coke can. So imagine a can of pop. That little virus, where all of it in the world can fit in one Coke can, is kicking our ass. That's pretty intense. I'd just like to have a power over something that much bigger than you. It's crazy. There's a new dating trend where the first thing couples are doing is going to get a rapid COVID test together. Is that like the new pickup line? Hey, let me take you out for a COVID test. Maybe after that we can go vaccinating. It'll be fun. Hey, you know, practice safe sex. That's what I say. Pandemic's been really good for the legal weed industry. In Colorado, the marijuana industry had its most lucrative year yet in 2020, talking about $2.2 billion. Yes, with a B. Billion. For the weed industry, just in Colorado alone. I contributed to some of that in Illinois. I'm not going to lie. Like those edibles. Like those gummies. Some hotels in Colombia have figured out a way to stay afloat during the pandemic. They've turned some of their rooms into camming studios for pro and amateur adult entertainers. Because you know it didn't stop during the pandemic? Porn. Not at all. It's probably a huge category for masks on Pornhub. Not saying from experience, but probably. I like this. A lot of people still learning the whole digital conference thing. A professor in Singapore did a 2-hour lecture before he realized that the whole time he was on mute. Gotta check those things, people. The CDC's newest advice on masks is to either wear one mask that fits really snug or a surgical mask with a cloth mask over it. Double masking. Those are the best ways to protect yourself and other people, says the CDC. And let's give a good stat. 79.9 million people have beaten the virus globally. That is your coronavirus insanity.
We interrupt this program to increase dramatic tension. 104.9.
Say it! Say it!
The Morning X.
That guy's a tool.
You're a tool. Tool of the day.
Powered by Retool of Rockford, they buy, sell, and trade tools on East State Street. It's time for today's Tool of the Day. This happened at O'Hare Airport in Chicago last Thursday morning. A guy on a trip from India to Savannah, Georgia, came in, and custom officials found that he had 8 large boxes of a knockoff Viagra called Vigor from India. He had a total of 3,200 pills with a street value of $100,000. Now, we're not sure how much he paid for it in India. My guess is a lot less. But he promised the customs officials that he was not planning to sell the boner pills on the black market. No, he said all these pills were for his friends. You know, his very horny but performance-challenged friends. He's like, yeah, you know, they call me Boner Santa. I just show up and deliver boner pills to the good old boys and girls. I'm like the Johnny Appleseed of boner pills. I travel the country making sure fella's apple tree can grow, if you know what I'm saying. I'm like the Oprah of boner pills. You get a boner. You get a boner. You get a boner. Everybody gets a boner. Well, of course, customs seized the pills because the FDA doesn't usually allow people to bring in prescription drugs from other countries, especially in mass quantities. And so he's officially our tool of the day today. Hilarious excuse, but not going to get you anywhere here. On the bright side, he's not going to face any charges. Don't be a tool like this fool, but the right tool for your jobs at Rockford Retool on East State Street next to Chuck E. Cheese. They buy, sell, and trade tools. Go in, see Dave, or visit RockfordRetool.com.
The one and the only.
104.9.
Take a listen.
The Morning X.
104.9 The Morning X at 821. It's Kev. You can text the show at any time, 59457. Text my name, Kev, and whatever you want to say to that number. That's 59457. On the phone now, Andrea from the Rockford Area Convention and Visitors Bureau. Now, Andrea, I hope that you have this kind of power, being somebody, you know, who you know, works for the city. Can we cancel the rest of February?
I wish I had that kind of power, but I do not.
I think we all do.
I think we could agree that January and February do feel like a whole year.
Well, yeah, February is the shortest month, but it feels like it takes 3 months to go by. It's only February 11th. I feel like we started February 4 weeks ago.
Like, I wonder if the weather were nicer, if it would still feel that long.
No, it wouldn't. That's exactly. I think so. That's what it is. This is the time of year we get the sub-zero temperatures, the wind chills, and the 30 belows, and it's just awful. People get that seasonal affective disorder, and it just it drags. You know, it drags.
It
if you're like me, I got to take my dog out for a walk every day, and that sucks. But you know,
well, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going through, but I want a dog so bad. And right now in February, of all the months of the year, I choose now to want a dog. Now we're probably my husband's reasoning with me, but I really do want one. But I don't know, the walks, I remember those. We used to have a dog, and it's tough. I can relate.
Yeah, and I live in an apartment complex, so I can't just let him out and do his business and let him back in. I have to walk him out, so so I'm forced to go outside. It gets me off my ass, though. It gets the blood pumping, so it's
Well, yeah, dogs are wonderful. I mean, we just have way too much going on at our house right now, but they're so much fun, and the puppy stage is fun, but it's also like so hang in. I bet your dog's not a puppy anymore, right?
No, he's over a year old now, so he's technically an adult, I guess, what they say.
He's
still a pain in the ass, but he's fun. Like him. So what's happening, cool. Andrea? We got a lot to talk about for the Rockford region this weekend.
We do. There's a lot going on. We'll start by talking about what's going on Friday evening. This is from 4 to 8. It's a vintage Valentine pop-up. Now, if you're thinking about last-minute Valentine's Day gifts, this is the spot for you. Maybe you want to get yourself something for Valentine's Day. Definitely check it out. They're practicing great social distancing efforts, masks up and required for vendors and patrons as well going through, and staff. So shop local, think local this year when you're picking out those lovely little Valentines.
Now, we talk about when you say vintage. Now, are we talking about 1950s, or are we talking 1990s? Because I found out recently that things from the 90s are now considered vintage.
Oh, no. Yes. I knew this would happen soon. Great. I'm sure it's fair game. If it's considered vintage, it will be in there. So the 90s, fair game for that, too.
So
you might want to check it out, Kev.
Am I going to be able to find an AC Slater Mario Lopez Saved by the Bell I Love You Valentine card?
Oh, my gosh. How fun would that
be? Is that vintage now?
Yes, that would definitely be vintage. And he's making a comeback, of course. So
perfect. Yeah, well, I don't know about him, but I'll take a Tiffany Amber Thiessen one if we're talking about that.
There you go. Whatever works. But yeah, cassette tapes, who knows? It'll all be in there, I'm sure. So that's going on. Also, just down the way, if you want to check out over the weekend on Sunday from 2 to 4, the Ethnic Heritage Museum is hosting a Black Suffragist at the Ethnic Heritage Museum. Now, this is a great exhibit that they're kicking off on Sunday. It's instrumental, of course, in the fight for women to obtain the right to vote. So if you're interested, this is a new exhibit there. They have many different exhibits, and it's a great opportunity to get the family to learn about Rockford's past. So it's a great history lesson, a great fun experience to get out and do something different in our community.
Yeah, and it's very important this month, especially Black History Month. And,
right.
You know, it was, you talk about, you know, Black women fighting for the right for women to vote at a time when it would be twice as hard because Black people weren't allowed to vote until a certain time in history. So it's a really big deal.
It really is. So, if you're ever going to support right now, it's a great time to do so. And go and check out what the volunteers there are phenomenal. They work so hard. So, they've put together a wonderful exhibit for you, and it's something to see. So check it out. And then, if you want to get outdoors, if you're an outdoorsy person and you want to go hang out in the snow, 815 Outside, this is a fantastic collaborative group in our region.
Nope, not going outside. It's February.
Well, everybody is like you, Kat.
I know. I try to remember that.
Yeah, that's true. So 815 Outside, they are putting together a phenomenal hike. This is at the Rockford Rotary Forest Preserve. Now, this is in Cherry Valley, and it is from 9 to 10:30 in the morning on Monday and to enjoy President's Day. So folks might be off looking for things to do, and this is a great way to bundle up. Now, if you put on our layers and we put on our, you know, we have layers and warm gear, you'll be just fine.
Fine.
Give it a shot, Kev.
I already have to put on three layers to go outside for 20 minutes away from my dog to take a dump.
Well, maybe you want to take your dog out to the forest preserve, and that'd be a really pretty way to, you know, I wouldn't recommend your dog going to the bathroom.
I'm not gonna lie, he would love that. He honestly would. There'd be a lot for him to see. And he's definitely that dog from, I don't know what movie it was, where the dog would just go, squirrel! And go running
That's
off.
All part of the, yeah, that puppy face, too, which is so fun. So that is something for you and your dog to do, and there are plenty of other opportunities to get outside and enjoy. Check out 815 Outside. They have a great page that will literally give you many different activity ideas and let you know where to go to enjoy the beautiful outdoors in the Rockford region. So check it out. Otherwise, you can go to GoRockford.com. There's a full calendar of events of indoor and outdoor activities and events going on. And have a wonderful Valentine's Day weekend.
Hey, you too, Andrea. We appreciate you jumping on and letting us know what's happening all across the Rockford region. Like she said, GoRockford.com. Andrea from the Rockford Area Convention and Visitors Bureau, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
It's the Morning X with Kev, powered by Expert Electronics.
This program contains adult content. Parental discretion is advised.
It's not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
Hey, Tyler, what's happening, man? You want to play sports or sex?
Yeah, let's do it. Sounds fun.
It is fun. You're not wrong about that. So I'm going to read you a sentence. I'm going to read you a sentence or a phrase or a word. You tell me whether I'm talking about sports or sex. Here we go. Number one, Jeff Gordon's got a rear end full of Johnson. Sports or sex? Jeff Gordon's got a rear end full of... Yeah, you said sports. That's actually right. I actually heard an announcer say that out loud on the Motor Racing Network a few years ago. Jeff Gordon's got a rear end full of Johnson. Very good. Very good. You're so far not... You don't have a pervy mind so far. So here we go. How about this one? Number two, the Cleveland Steamer. Sports or sex?
Sex.
Yeah, definitely. It's a sex thing. I'm not going to talk about what it is on the air. Although, if you didn't know it was a sex thing, you might think it was a sports team, right?
Maybe, but since my 8th grade, you should probably know that one.
You should, yeah. Well, I mean, they're thinking about changing the name of the Cleveland Indians. Maybe the Steamers. Maybe.
That would be intriguing.
All right, final one. How about this phrase? Sports or sex? Magic Johnson.
Sports.
Of course. The secret of this game is, no matter which one you said, it would have been correct. Doesn't matter. I think a lot of guys think they have a Magic Johnson. But hey, Tyler, I'm going to go ahead and hook you up with a copy of 101 Nights of Great Sex by Laura Korn.
Awesome.
1049, The Morning X.
Ice Hogs Hockey is back. Oh, what a glorious sound that is. Hogs playing the Iowa Wild tomorrow. On the phone, we've got Mike Peck of the Rockford Ice Hogs. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, Kev. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday to you. Welcome back. Now, I heard a rumor, and I want you to either debunk or confirm this rumor. Are you broadcasting? Are you calling the game tomorrow?
Oh, man, you're breaking big news here.
Was I not supposed to tell?
Oh, no, no. It's all, no, it's, it, I guess it could be public. I guess I wasn't really looking to say, hey, no, don't announce anything. But, yeah, I guess, you know what it was? It was last week you played all those, that fight montage from the Pink in the Rink game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we got so many letters saying, you know what, we need a bench clearing brawl. That's what we need to get us through this whole thing. So they thought I'd be inspiration for it. So, you know, lo and behold, tomorrow night, I'll be in Iowa trying to call a bench clearing brawl.
Ah, so you, what you're saying is you need me to stage one.
Yes.
So just,
if you could, that would be great.
Just, you know, figure out which Ice Hogs player has my exact build and height. Put me in their equipment. I'll go out and start some stuff and then leave.
Now the line that my 10-year-old likes the best to try to pick a hockey fight is, you want to go, pretty boy? So you can use that. Feel free to use that one.
Does that work?
I don't know. It works on me, and he beats me up every time, so maybe it does.
I mean, how do you say that in French in case we're playing one of those Canadian teams?
Oh, man, that's a good question. I got to brush up on my Francais.
Yeah, I have zero in my arsenal.
You know, I in high school, it was actually middle school, you know, we had the option of taking French or Spanish, and most sensible people took Spanish. I took French because there was a girl that I liked that was going the French route.
Neither
worked out for me.
And French is the language of love, man.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently it wasn't very good. C'est dommage. See, that's about my extent of my French. That means that's too bad, by the way.
That says a lot more than it needed to, actually. Just the fact that even French didn't work for you, Mike.
Oh, you know, it's just appropriate Valentine's Day weekend, and I'm still not sure what my wife is thinking, but she's been with me for 16, 17 years, so, you know, I guess I got lucky on that one.
Well, congratulations, man. That's awesome for you.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, so sure. So what you're doing is going out of town during Valentine's Day weekend to call a hockey game.
Yeah, right. That's a good point. I didn't really look at it that way, but thanks. Now I got to probably buy like an extra bouquet of flowers or something.
I would, man. I'd be prepared.
But it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it. It's been a while. Joey Z, I had to leave the bubble, if you will. You know, each team in the AHL and NHL has a bubble. So I got to fill in for Joey, but he'll be back next Tuesday when the Ice Hogs return home to take on the Chicago Wolves. But, no, I'm looking forward to it. And, you know, Joey gracious enough to offer the opportunity to get back into the booth for a game and, I guess, relive the glory years a little bit. So I don't know how good I'm going to be. It's been a few years, but it's going to be fun.
Yeah, how long has it been? When was the last time you called a game?
Oh, man, I think it hasn't been that long. It's been 3 or 4 years. I think it's been maybe, is it 4 years? I'd have to look back, but it's been 3 or 4 years. And I filled in for about a month. Right before Joey Z was brought on board. And, you know, it's a lot of fun, but, you know, at the same time, it's also a lot of preparation. So, you know, it's a good time, though. I tell you what, you know, once you need all this being, a DJ and, you know, working the morning show, I mean, once you get behind the mic, it's tough to get that out of your blood.
I know. You're going to want to keep doing it. You're going to put in to be Joey Z's sidekick after this, I think.
Yeah, right. Yeah, one game will serve me all right. I'll be good doing it Saturday, and then I'll hand the reins over to the proper seat holder, which is Joey Z.
So you'll be able to hear it live on Sports Fan Radio 1330. But tell me real quick about the Ice Hogs mobile app. Is that new this year? Because that seems foreign to me.
Yeah, you know, we've actually had it for a couple of years. We had it redone about a year and a half ago, and it's super interactive, which is awesome, especially right now. And through the mobile app, you can watch Ice Hogs games. There is a fee for that. You can listen for free because it connects to the Sports Fan Rockford app and link. But you can also participate in a bunch of different interactive activities that we do throughout the course of the game. You can predict who's going to score the first goal. You can check in to win some prizes. We have a jersey raffle that we do every game. So, yeah, it's pretty awesome. And like I said, we try to make it as interactive as possible.
Yeah, that seems like a good thing, especially nowadays, because most people can't get out. So and obviously there's no games to go to yet this year, so this is a good thing to have.
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, we had our first home game last week. And by the way, we have more rescheduled games than we have games played so far, in case you're keeping score at home.
Oh, no.
So, but we're doing okay. We're still making it through. But last Saturday, you know, it was the first game, and it was at the BMO Harris Bank Center, and you know, it was really, really good to see hockey, but it was really strange and unsettling to be in that building for a game and not have anybody in there. I mean, you looked in one end zone and we had like 14 doctors spread out. And then we had, you know, a couple of ice crew members that shoveled the snow, and that was pretty much it. And it's just like, man, this is, you know, not the way it's supposed to be, but we'll get through it. And like I said, keep that interaction up so fans can stay tuned in as the season goes on. And at some point, we'll welcome everyone back.
Yeah, and of course, you know, it sucks to not be able to go to the games, but there's plenty of ways to see. You can watch it AHL TV or, of course, Antenna TV on 23.2. That's WIFR's 0.2 station. And, of course, Sports Fan Radio 1330. Mike, I hope that you calling the game is the magic charm and the Hogs can pick up their first win with you behind the mic.
Oh, man, you know what they say in sports? They get super superstitious, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I may have to, you know, Tuesday, and then we'll win Tuesday, and then it'll be back next weekend. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, keep you behind the mic until you lose. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. And I'm not changing my underwear either. Is that too much information? Or?
That's just plain gross, but that's fine. That's your business. It's not mine. Maybe your wife will be glad you're out of town this weekend.
There you go.
With your dirty-ass drawers. All right, Mike Peck from the Rockford IceHogs. Thank you very much. IceHogs.com for all the things we just talked about and more. Mike, thanks very much.
Hey, have a great weekend.
It's the Morning X This Week, powered by Expert Electronics.